Today we are sharing the good news of how our lives begin in promise. We're doing that by looking at Genesis chapter 12 and Romans 4, kind of through the timeline of the Apostles' Creed that we confessed as a part of baptism. How do we go from I believe in God to the trust that there's life everlasting? That A to Z move from trusting in God and trusting that that is not just the end of things, but is the promise of everything. That is what we're looking at today. May the peace of God be with us as we hear this word. So you guys have a special thing that Saturday night did not have, and that is a shorter sermon. Because last night I preached this sermon, and it was too long, and it wasn't very clear. And so then last night I came home, I worked on it, and after the 8:30 service, I asked Pastor Woodfin, was it shorter? And he goes, yes. And he said it was also easier to understand. So hopefully the trend continues now in this service. And so here was the challenge for me last night, and it's just the challenge today is I want to share everything. But somewhere we have to begin when we want to share everything. And my challenge last night is I think I not only began, but I continued and continued and continued. And so today I want to just make sure we begin at the right spot. And we're going to begin with promise. And the beginning of the promise is even there in that confession, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe that God has made me. And that this trust that God made me starts to shape how I see God and also how I see one another. We'll see this, for instance, just even how the book of Romans starts. In Romans 1:1, Paul starts this way. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart. I just looked down. You may be wondering why I'm looking down on my phone. We are now live streaming the services, and I realized I forgot to turn the microphone on this on. And so everyone out in the rest of the world is wondering, what is he saying? All right, I think I have it now. Oh, now it says attempting to reconnect. I feel like that's my life right there. All right, well, we'll just... I'll make sure it works. So attempting to begin recordings or anything, it starts with, it's not about me. And that's what Paul's starting with too, that it's not about him. He hasn't figured out what he wants to do. It's God that's called him into this vocation of being an apostle. And when you think about your relationship with God, it's not about what you want from God. It's about what God is calling you into. And when Abraham is called in Genesis 12 by God, it's not that, you know, God appears and Abraham says, well, here's my grocery list, God. This is what I want today. It's God that says to him, go. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to bless you and make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And the ones who dishonor you, I'm going to curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abraham's relationship with God started with God calling him. Paul's relationship to the church and his missionary work started with God calling him into it. And it's the same for each one of us. Our relationship with God has started by God calling us into this relationship. And how this relationship starts that God calls us into, how does he know who to start with? How does he know which one of us to call? Here's the thing. He doesn't look out and figure out which one of us are worthy of the calling. Paul was a persecutor of Christians when he was called to be an apostle. Abraham, was he something special? Was he a great hero with a great family line of heroes? He was not. Joshua chapter 24 has Joshua telling the people why they have been brought into the promised land. And Joshua wants to make it clear to everyone that you're brought into the promised land not through some great heritage that you have, but it's through the work of God. Here's how Joshua describes it. He says, Joshua said to the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and I led him through the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. A couple things I want you to notice about Joshua's words about this family tree that the people have. One is, it was God doing the work. Did you notice how many times God said, I'm the one that brought this, I'm the one that gave it, I'm the one that gave. The second thing I want you to notice, and this is really important, Joshua's words about Abraham and his father Terah. They served other gods. When God was calling Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he didn't look around and figure out who are the best people. Look around. Abraham, he's the best. I'm going to build something great on him. The beginning of our relationship with God does not start with what ingredients we bring to the relationship. It starts with what God is doing in the relationship. God is the one that called Paul. God is the one that called Abraham. God is the one that calls each one of you. Now, as I think about this relationship we have with God and how it starts with God, what God is doing, I want you to then connect that to what God is not only doing through you and your relationship with Him, but your relationship with everybody else as well. It's amazing to me when I start a relationship with suspicion and the expectation that this person's probably going to disappoint me, that relationship doesn't go very far. It usually arrives exactly where I expected it to be, with suspicion and disappointment answered with some sort of treachery that I'm sure they did wrong to me. But when my relationship with people starts with this trust, God is working here, then there's something possible here. There's something in my imagination more than I ever expected. Psalm 139 verse 14 describes this. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of your works are wonderful. I stand in them. Not only am I fearfully and wonderfully made, David confesses in those words, but then the next line is, all of your works are wonderful. When I look at every single person and say they are a work of God, then there's something possible in this relationship with them that is not there when I say, this person is full of sin and treachery and is going to disappoint me. But when I start a relationship with people and say, this person is a wonderful work of God, there is expectation there beyond my imagination. When God called Paul to be an apostle, he sent them to the Gentiles to share the promise of Abraham. Paul went to the Gentiles because he trusted God could work among them. When God sent Abraham to the land, he said, go to the land that I'm going to show you. When Abraham arrived in that land, next to these oaks of Mamre, he built an altar. An altar sometimes was built as a place of remembrance of what has been accomplished in that place. But that's not why Abraham built the altar. He built the altar as a place of promise, with expectation that as people pass through this space, they're going to trust that God's working here. And then he continued on to Bethel and Ai, right there in the middle of the land. He builds another altar there with the trust God's going to do something here. And then he travels down south to the Negev, to the southern boundary, and he says, God's going to work here. In all of this trust and this power of imagination that God's going to work here, and you may even think, oh, he's so naive to trust people that God's going to work in their lives because I've tried that. People fall apart and disappoint us. I know this. I know this is true. But I know that God is continually working in this world to bring about redemption. This is what the second article of the creed is about. When we say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he was born of Mary, brought into this world. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, he was buried, he descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and from there he's going to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom is going to have no end. I believe all of that promise of what Christ is going to accomplish happens in a world that killed him. I know that all of what Christ is doing in this world arrives in a world that is trying to do him harm. And he still does it anyway. He still loves us. Anyways, think about these words from Romans 1:17. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God to bring salvation to the Jew first, then to the Greek also. Paul has confidence in the good news of Jesus Christ to be the dynamite that breaks apart this binding to sin that we have, this expectation of shame that we have, this sorrow that surrounds us. He trusts the gospel to do that. And he trusts it's not going to be by our works that this righteousness and glory of God is going to be revealed in this world. In Romans chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says, our unrighteousness is going to reveal the righteousness of God. I find that to be a groundbreaking statement, because I want to think this. I want to think that Abraham is going to show the glory of God by how great he is. I think Paul is going to show the glory of God by how amazing he is. And us as a church in this community are going to shine a beacon of light into the world by how awesome we are. But that's not what Romans 3:5 says. Romans 3:5 says, by our unrighteousness, the righteousness of God is going to be revealed. You see, in Romans, we find Paul describing what God is doing. But then there's this great tongue twister passage where Paul says, the things I want to do, I do not do. And he goes on and finishes that by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to save me? And he says, oh, thanks to God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. He says that the righteous shall live by faith. Or how about in Genesis? Genesis 12, we've got the call to Abraham. Everything's going great and grand. They go to the land. He brings with them Lot. He brings with his family. He brings with the people that had gathered around him in Haran. They arrive there. What happens in Genesis 13? He goes down to Egypt and passes off his wife Sarah as his sister so that Pharaoh won't try to kill him. Not a great start. Kind of a lot of doubt there in what God's doing. Genesis 14, his family gets complicated. Lot is a problem, and Abraham and Lot split the land, and Lot goes to live in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's problems, and Abraham has to go rescue him. Do you have complicated lives and complicated family? Abraham did. Then in Genesis 15, Abraham questions God. And he says, God, you promised me great descendants. You promised me a righteousness that would give glory to you in this world. And I look, and Eliezer of Damascus is my only inheritance. Then God takes him out to see the sky, to look at the stars. Not like a Royal Oak, Birmingham stars where there's like three. This is like a South Dakota where it's dark at night and see Milky Way. He says, as many as the stars are in the sky will your descendants be. And Abraham believed him. And it says that it was reckoned to him as righteousness. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ comes into this world where there's unrighteousness. And he does it in such a way that by his amazing grace, we who once were lost can be found. And the glory of God in this community is not found by how awesome we are as people, but how awesome is our God that he would love and redeem us sinners. That's the story of Paul. That's the story of Abraham. That's the story of each one of us. And you wonder, how does this happen? How does this great, glorious, wonderful story get to you? That's the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit is working through these sacred scriptures to call us to faith, to gather us together as a body of believers in this holy Christian church. And I think we're not a holy church because of our holiness. We're a holy Christian church because Christ is here. And we are a communion of saints, not because of how noble our works are, but because we have the forgiveness of sins. And if we have the forgiveness of sins, then I trust death no longer holds me, so I have the resurrection of the body. And now this is the Z. The A was I believe that God has created us and has created everyone. And the Z is I believe we have the life everlasting. Look at that. The alphabet ends at Z. But the beginnings we have with God never end, because they're new every day. You have a new creation in Christ. Abraham had the promise. And when Paul is writing to the Romans in chapter 4, he's telling the Romans, this is how you are a participant in the promises of Abraham. It's the same way Abraham became a participant in the promises. It wasn't by his ethnicity. It wasn't by his good works. It was that the righteous shall live by faith. This is the promise that we have. The righteous, not our righteousness, but those who are receiving the righteousness of God, they shall live by faith. May this be the power and the comfort that gives you peace this day for your relationship with God, and a greater and wonderful imagination for your relationship with one another.